people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining. People, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
And today we're talking about life in the present. Years ago, I read, what is it? I can't think of the name of it. The first big book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Maybe it was that one. Yeah, The Power of Now. And when I read the book, which I read fairly quickly, in an afternoon, I think. I remember thinking, wow, this is brilliant. Wow, this is great. And I need to do this. And then that was the end of it. And over the years, I've learned that mindfulness is an effective distraction or treatment for people with almost every sort of mental anguish, from fear to addictions, to anxiety, to most issues. The reason is the mind almost exclusively looks forward or looks backward. And that's a real shame, because in so doing, we miss everything that is. And the reason we look forward to the future, the reason we look forward in fear, is there is this idea in our minds, and we all have this, that if we worry about every possible situation, that we are somehow inoculating ourselves from that thing occurring. And so we ruminate over it, which, by the way, ruminate comes from the same word. It has to do with like cows vomiting up and chewing their food again and swallowing. So you are, when you ruminate, you're vomiting things up in your brain, chewing it up again and swallowing it again, only to ruminate it again. If we can get ourselves to be present only to the present moment, then we cannot think about the what could happen in the future, because it simply does not exist in the present moment. Then we cannot feel shame, guilt, sadness, etc., about the past, because it does not exist in the present moment. Mindfulness is becoming a huge meme. Eckhart Tolle discovered this because he was suicidal, if I recall the story correctly. He was so sad, so depressed. He was living in England, and he would go and sit on a park bench every day, and he would think about and plan to kill himself, and yet he didn't, over and over and over again, because one of the things he discovered was he was so distracted by the activity going on at the park, the people walking by, the dogs, the weather. Everything was always different, and he began to focus more on that and less on himself, if I understand the story correctly. And over time, he came up with this idea of living only in the present. This is a very, very, very difficult thing for us, especially in our culture, because we've been taught that we're supposed to live in the future. We're supposed to plan for the future, think about the future, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we go on vacation, and then we stop and we enjoy, instead of just being present to what is. So I want to give you some suggestions if you've never tried this concept of mindfulness. And you don't need to remember any of the names that I'm going to share with you, but I'm going to tell you this is incredibly powerful. And when it comes to mindfulness, I just want you to know, just like with all other spiritual practices, there's no there. You continually have to work on it. It does become more habitual. And yet it is something that, because the media always wants you to focus on the future or the past, and that's what a lot of people want to talk about, et cetera, it's difficult to simply be present. This is all part of our great advice series that I'm doing. And I realize that one of the greatest pieces of advice is mindfulness. And it actually also rises out of Zen Buddhism, which is just basically accepting totally what is and being present only to what is, because the future is unknowable and the past is over. So I'm going to give you some examples, like I said. One, get a candle, light the candle, and sit there and stare at the candle and think only of the candle flame. One of the ways that I like to do this to keep my mind focused just on the candle flame is I imagine that I am making the candle flame flicker or still with my mind. It's like I'm a practicing telekinesis, but it keeps me totally focused on the candle. One of the things I've discovered that keeps us from trying these types of things is that we feel like it's going to take too much time, we're going to do it wrong, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And with mindfulness, it is an attempt to visit a land most of us have never visited before, and that is here and now. Because most of us live in the past and the present rather than the here and the now. So when you sit down with your candle, is your mind going to flicker like the candle? Of course. Is your mind going to go elsewhere? Yes. Your mind is going. The key is always bring it back. This is what I've discovered about meditation after reading a number of books by Thich Nhat Hanh and Pema Chodron and others, is that our brains become stronger, not because we go into some sort of meditative state and stay there. That's ideal. What happens is we attempt to go into some sort of meditative state and then we get knocked out of it. And it's the bringing it back that causes our mind to become stronger. It's just like with exercise. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to the gym. Today's arms and shoulders. I don't, picking up a weight and holding it like this is not going to give, is not the exercise. The exercise is putting it down and bringing it back, putting it down and bringing it back. So extending my arm rather. So the same is true for your mind. Your mind is going to go, and the key is to bring your mind back gently. Welcome back, mind, something like that. Or I am here now. I am here now, something like that. So really, simply one of the best meditations I find, especially, don't think of it as a meditation, it's a mindfulness practice, is to just light a candle and be present for it and set a timer. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, just set a timer so you don't feel like I gotta do this forever. Let yourself know that you've got some time. So that works really, really well. Another thing that works really well is what is called Zazen, which means sitting Zen. Again, this is something that is recommended. These practices are recommended to people with borderline personality disorder to soothe themselves, people with real extreme issues, depression, etc. Coming back and simply being present rather than off in a million different vaporous, fearful mindsets is what makes people find relief. So with Zazen or sitting Zen, you would sit in a room. I do it in here a lot. And you just simply look at the room. Now, as I look around the room right now, I see that I need to hang my blinds after the hurricane shutters were done. And I also need to remember to stay on top of the fact that they put the wrong size window in the middle. And I also see that I need to reset up my altar. All of those things are judgments. None of those are things you should do. You simply scan the room. There's a wood carving over there that was given to me. My mind wants to go, I wonder what kind of wood it is. See, those are the things you don't get into. I wrote a short book on mindfulness a while back, and I talked about, I wanted to get into this idea of why we call it mindful, when really it seems like it should be mind empty, just sitting around or just looking at a candle. Why would we call it mindful? And the reason I think is that it's like a sporting event. You're watching a football game, or you're watching a baseball game or a basketball game. Usually it's mostly like football and basketball I find. But you've got an announcer who's literally telling you what is going on in the game at the moment. It's play by play. That's why it's called that way. Then you've got one, if not several, commentators, color commentators. They're supposed to give some color to the conversation. They're supposed to bring up old stories, future projections. They are all focused on the past and the present. Excuse me, the past and the future. The commentators don't really talk about the plays so much. They talk more about a similar play somebody else made or about the future of this player, et cetera, et cetera. Such that if you listened to the game and only heard the commentator, you wouldn't know what was going on. You simply would not know what is going on. So what we want to listen to is the play-by-play announcer. This goes back to the other day when I was talking about talking to yourself. There's great power in describing to yourself what you're doing, and while you're walking around, you're less likely to forget things, you become more efficient, and you stay more focused on the present. So there's two examples, and I'm going to give you one more. First two. Number one, take a candle and just look at it. People just love that feeling, and it's so easy to get lost in that. You've noticed that whenever people are around fire, they stare at it. So there's a natural mesmerizing effect from fire. So it's very relaxing. Stare at a candle. The second one is, just scan the room that you're in without thoughts of how anything came to be, was, or will be. Just simply notice it. Don't think about the fact that over there is my other computer stand and I need to put that in the closet, or that that bottle of water probably is a little stale. You see what I mean? Just scan the room. And the last one I'll recommend to you, and I love to do this one live, is what is called walking Zen. Thich Nhat Hanh was a big fan of this, and that is to kiss the ground with your feet, as he says. Take a walk. Don't take headphones or anything like that. Just feel the ground beneath your feet. Feel each step as unique. Feel each step as different, and scan around you, just like you would do in this sitting Zen. In this case, however, you are scanning everything around you, and you don't think about it. You see trash on the ground, but you don't think, how dare someone throw trash on the ground. There's no judgments. There's no analyzing. You are purely observing. It's almost like, I like to use the analogy, you're an alien who's been sent here to just observe. Not analyze, just observe. Today is Monday. And I know that a lot of us wake up with Monday-itis, anxiety on Monday, feeling a little strained. The first little thing goes wrong on a Monday, and we go, of course, it's a Monday. And what I want to invite you to do, because as soon as we're done in about 2 minutes, I'm going to meditate. I want to invite you to try one of these things today. Either light a candle and sit and stare at it for a little bit in a reasonably quiet room. Number two, just sit in a room, set a timer, 3 to 5 minutes, and just look around the room. And if it's not in the room, you don't think about it. That's the way to remember it. You don't think about the argument you had with your sister because she's not in the room. You just think about, and you don't even think about how things came to be in the room or anything that needs to be moved. You simply look. I know these all sound very, very challenging. They're not easy. Nothing of great worth is easy. And yet as you cultivate this, you will notice your anxiety begin to go down, your worry. When you get triggered, when you get anxious, try one of these. And don't forget the walking Zen. I've worked with a lot of executives, and one of the things I convince them to do is I ask them how far the walk is from their office to their car. I don't know, 200 feet, got to go down the corridor, got to go down the elevator, got to go out the door, got to go through the parking lot, et cetera, whatever. Then I say that 5-minute walk that you make at the end of the day, you don't check your phone, you don't think about the day, you don't think about where you're going, you simply be present to where you are. And it's amazing the results that people have shared with me, just how much chill they are when they get home. So the idea is, be present. I'm going to use this silly old comment. The present is a present, and you are present. So get present. Pick one of those three things today. Zazen, looking in the room. Two, lighting the candle, or walking meditation. And since I said walking meditation, this is your opportunity to click share. Thank you to very, very much to those of you who always click share and continue to spread our positive message around the world. I love the fact that we literally have people around the world. We've got Courtney, who's here every morning with us from Jamaica. And she says, good morning from Montego Bay. I am grateful for a day off. That's awesome. Brit says, and Brit is in Ireland, grateful for working from home. See what I mean? Customer service is sending me a wristband in the mail, they told me, David. Okay. Not exactly sure what you mean. My customer service, maybe you should send me a message. I'm not sure I understand you. Willow is grateful for being alive. That's I think that mindfulness is the new jargon for mindless approach of classic meditation. Very likely. I think that's a good, good. It's been a while, but it's time to be that again, says David Steele. Yes, be present. I encounter the same approach when I take photographs. Your focus is totally on what you're doing, so it feels like meditation. That, I think, by the way, is one of the reasons that people enjoy games and things that are not dangerous necessarily, but things that can go wrong. I know that I am far more present when I'm paddleboarding than when I'm doing other things because I don't want to fall off. So I'm present to boats that go by, waves that may be coming in, a coral outcroppings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, wow, love this. Bringing the mind back. Thank you, Willow. Willow was the first one to click share. I see. Awesome. Mary says, it grounds me when I practice mindfulness. We got a quote here from David. Let's see, Fra Vilva, I can't pronounce that. No peace lies in the which is not hidden in the present little instant. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow behind it, yet within our reach is joy. There is radiance and glory and darkness. Could we but see it? And to see, we have only to look. Very good. Very good. Very good quote. David says, I call it being the director, where you are directing. Try not to judge what the actor is doing, just being, watching, and being. Very good. Ed says again, sat in my bedroom, and I just looked before the jump start. Wow, how cool. Grateful for love. That's awesome, Greg. Good to see you. And shared. That's great. The effervescent present. I love that. That's good. Thanks, Mary. Ananda says, always share. David says, all-encompassing activities bring joy and peace in their wake. I have a very good friend who was a professional bodybuilder for years, and he was like Schwarzenegger, big. He's also 6'4". He's just huge, blonde hair. He looks like a Nordic god. And he used to say, you've got to put your mind underneath the bar before you put your body under the bar. He said, you get on a bench press and you've got 300 pounds on it or whatever, which I've never come close to. But he's like, that thing will snap you in half if your mind is not there. You're not present right there. So don't be thinking about an argument with your girlfriend or anything in the future. Be present. All right. So today's Monday, friends. Be present to today, to whatever is going on, and know that you have the capacity to move through it in a wonderful way. And whatever happens, try your best not to blame Monday. We often do that. Well, it's Monday. Today is just another day. Let's make the best of it. Love you all. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. Flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No.